When you wake up in the morning, are you raring to go? Or do you think to yourself, what could possibly be the point? Doing what works will help you see it isn't too late to go after your dreams. We talk with experts about everything from getting in shape to finding work you love. We're your guide to a better life. Now, here's your host for Doing What Works, Maureen Anderson.
If you're a party guy or gal, and your special someone finds parties draining, you do not want to miss the next hour of the program. Heck, even if you're well matched in the introversion department, you probably work with people that don't fit that description. And we're going to help you at the office too. We are going to talk about introversion today, and I promise you it will be a fun show. When I think back on my husband and producer, Daryl Anderson, asking me on a date for the very first time, I remember how we were both being that day, and we looked for all the world to be extroverts, both of us. But honey, I'm guessing you learned quickly that the talk show aspirations notwithstanding, you married a bit of an introvert.
I don't know if I would agree with that necessarily. You have introverted tendencies mm-hmm. from time to time. Mm-hmm. And then there are other times when you don't seem very introverted at all.
Okay.
And well, I don't know if you can be both. I mean, most of the time people get pigeonholed. You're either this or that.
Yes.
Not a little of this and a little of that.
Well, the person to ask.
And I see your guest nodding his head, so I think this is good.
We have the great fun of having an in-studio guest with us at, I should give a little shout-out to our flagship station, WZFG AM 1100 in Fargo. We have the pleasure of having Peter Vogt with us. He hails from Moorhead. He's the author of The Introvert Manifesto, a book I gobbled up. I couldn't wait to talk with him about it. Such a treat to have you on the show, Peter.
Thank you.
You were nodding your head. You are like me. You've taken the Myers-Briggs. Okay.
Many times.
One thing I found fascinating is how dead center I was on introversion and extroversion. I'm an introvert, but barely.
I'm not surprised based on my 5 minutes with you so far.
Tell me.
Well, because like Daryl was saying in the previous question you just asked him, it's a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing really as an introvert. I should say that right off the bat. The introvert manifesto, the word introvert is a shorthand for somebody who prefers introversion most of the time. But, you know, the book title of the manifesto of the person who prefers introversion most of the time doesn't just roll as well as the introvert manifesto. But introversion and extroversion are on a spectrum. And everybody's a mix of both. There's no such thing as an introvert. Now, having said that, there are some people like me, for instance, who are very strongly introverted, who are farther to the introverted side of that scale. You're in the middle, and other people might be far more to the extroverted side. And there's a lot of factors that play into it, too, like mood and sleep and whether you fought with your spouse this morning and all sorts of stuff. But most of the time, I'm an introvert. And it's shorthand for most of the time, I prefer introverted things. That's all it is.
Interesting. It brings up a really good point that I should probably make on every installment of the show, which is that labels limit. They are helpful to a point, but if you get too stuck on them, you are telling someone that they're one thing and they can never change.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the danger of picking a title for a book or anything else. So I'm very upfront about that, and I say, this is shorthand, everybody. Introvert is shorthand. You'll have 10 introverts in a room. They're not all going to be the same. They're going to be different from each other, just like 100 other aspects of personality. But having said that, most strong introverts in particular are going to share certain tendencies, like wanting to have some alone time once in a while, wanting to be able to think before you speak. You know, give me 2 seconds to think before I respond to a question. Give me 10, and I'd be even more happy. That doesn't work well on the radio, so you have to adapt, and I do fine, but give me a choice, and that's how I would be, because it just helps to think a little bit before I respond. And I would say that most people who lean toward introversion would say the same thing. They would say the same thing about parties. If the party gets canceled, they would have a party themselves because the party got canceled and they don't have to go. But it's not always that way, and sometimes introverts want to go to a party and stay for a bit of time and go home. But mostly they would rather go to the coffee shop and have a one-on-one conversation like you and I are having right now.
This is going to seem as if I'm hung up on a label because I'm curious about it, and there's nothing I can do about that. But one of the most fun things I can ever imagine doing with Daryl is getting together. We have best friends in Cleveland, best friends in Chicago. I mean, my idea of a date is a double date with another couple we just click with. And I get so much energy from that. But you add one more couple or threesome to the mix, and I'm like you, I want to run screaming from that. What does that tell you about where I fall on the spectrum?
I think that's your middle of the road person that you describe yourself to be. You've got the introverted tendency of wanting to have one-on-one deeper connections with one other couple. And if it gets to be too many and there's fewer deeper connections and there's less time to interact in depth with one person, then suddenly it starts to drain you and you don't want to do it. That seems very common and normal to me for someone who at least is in the middle of the road of being an introvert.
I think the first time a lot of people give much thought to this is when they take the Myers-Briggs. Let's talk about that assessment for a minute, will you?
The Myers-Briggs is just one of the most widely used personality assessment tools in the world, really. And it's got four scales, and one of them, the first one, sort of asks you a bunch of questions, and you end up being on some part of the scale, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. And it's a scale. It goes from one end to the other, and you're put, it sounds like, Maureen, you're put somewhere right near the middle. I end up always being on the introverted side of things fairly strongly. It doesn't mean I don't have any extroverted qualities or any extroverted interests. I'm doing this right now, and this is extroverted.
It sure is.
But it basically means that most of the time I will lean toward introverted sorts of things. And that's all that it measures, along with several other aspects of your personality.
Do you recommend everybody take that?
Oh, I do. But you gotta take it with a grain of salt. You were talking about labels earlier. And if I go around running, some people put, you know, their Myers-Briggs type on their license plate. I'm an INFJ. Well, and I am an INFJ, but it's not license plate worthy because sometimes I'm the opposite. And so I don't, you can't take it that far. You can't take any test that far. It's 120 questions to encompass your entire life. It can't be done, but it can give you a sense. I've taken it probably a half a dozen times throughout my life. I always end up being INFJ, and the introvert part of me always does end up being fairly clear cut. And so you take it for what it's worth, but you don't sit and put it on your license plate or something like that. That's too much for me. If it's good for somebody else, that's fine.
You mentioned INFJ, introversion, intuition, feeling, judgment.
Correct.
Guess mine. Please.
ENFP.
ENFP. Close. INFP.
Well, I was in
very close, and we've already talked about the, you know.
But even that, even guessing people's Myers-Briggs types
is total waste of time.
Is another road to nowhere, because I have guessed so many people, I have guessed them to be extroverts and they test out to be introverts.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're not really good at being an extrovert when called upon.
Oh, absolutely. And
A lot of actors are
introverts. Harrison Ford has talked about that many times.
Well, I believe that about him because he liked his carpentry.
He becomes someone else, literally, obviously, and when he's acting, but in real life, he's an introvert.
Sure. I remember being asked by the police chief in Detroit Lakes when I was a Cub news reporter why in the heck I would drive to another city to take this Myers-Briggs assessment with all the other stuff I had going as this new reporter in the 14-hour days covering fires and whatever. And I told him that I work with a lot of people in a high-stress environment, and it never hurts to get another window on how you operate. And the only thing I remember from that entire evening was we were asked to come up with a set of directions to get from point A to point B. And we divided ourselves into two groups. One group had the maps and one group had the landmarks and were doing the feel your way. And I was so squarely in the camp of feel your way. And I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize my aversion to maps. What does that tell you?
Oh boy, I don't know what it tells me about introversion and extroversion, but it has, that would be another aspect of your personality. The last aspect, the perceiving versus judging. You're an open-ended type of person. You want to make your way as you go. The judging type like me wants to be more planful about it.
Yep.
And map quests the trip.
You know,
we're going, my family and I are going to San Diego in a few days, and I've got the trip map quested out already. That's what Jays do.
I'll make an admission that I'm not proud of, but I feel somewhat superior about my P letter. I equate judgment with persnicketiness, I guess.
Yeah.
When that's not what this refers to.
No, it's not at all, actually. And if you really dig into the Myers-Briggs material, which I have done through the training course, which is great, but it, people tend to think of it as judgmental or judging of other people. That actually has nothing to do with it.
What does it mean?
It means that the judging function of the Myers-Briggs test is the one that's the strongest for you, which is gobbledygook to most people listening to this, but it has nothing to do with being judgmental. It has to do with wanting to organize your life ahead of time, essentially, wanting to be a little more planful about life versus being open-ended and wherever the winds blow me. And there's a place for both. When you go on a traveling trip, you might want to be open-ended.
and you also might want to have a map in the
absolutely, because we are not Clark W. Griswold, who have the whole thing mapped out ahead of time.
And you might not want to travel with somebody who's the opposite of you in those circumstances.
Yeah.
or make sure you take lots of breaks. We are talking introversion with Peter Vogt. I knew it would be fun. It has been. I hope you're enjoying it as well. And we'll be back in just a moment with more of Doing What Works. As host of Doing What Works, I am often asked where I find my guests and how I decide what to cover. This is how I find my guests. Somebody I love refers them, in this case, Barbara Winter, joyfullyjobless.com. You know all about her if you're a regular listener of the show. And thanks for that, by the way. Barbara Winter told me about Peter Vogt and said, you have to talk to this guy. He is an expert on introversion. I almost said an extrovert on introversion. Although, one quote from your book I love, if you're passionate about something, you will out-extrovert an extrovert, absolutely, even though you're an introvert.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you followed that, but...
basically, what it means is if any introvert is passionate about what they do, they will look very extroverted as they're doing it.
When I listened to you in the first part of the program, it reminded me of guest selection, because how do I decide what to cover? It's whether I can learn something, and I just had a feeling I would learn something about myself. And one thing I've already learned is when you talked about my aversion to maps in the framework of I need to not have a plan for my life, it made me realize, honey, what you sense from me sometimes. If I get to a point where I can tell you what I'm going to be doing every hour of every day of every week for the next however many months or years on end, you will not want to spend the next hour with me because I am not in a good place. I don't want a predictable life. I don't want it all unpredictable because that's crazy inducing too. But I don't want to know what's going to happen next. I want a good story. And I think a lot of us crave that. We just get stuck in these grown-up hamster wheel lives.
Oh, absolutely. And part of it is, you know, when you were a reporter, when you're reporting, that's the nature of the beast when you're a reporter. You're chasing around all the different stories that are happening. And you might plan a little bit of what you're going to do that day. And then there's a car accident and then there's a fire. And suddenly your plan is gone to begin with. So... that's part of the job.
And none of it meant anything to me. I got zero meaning from announcing somebody's name who was in a car accident. But I had this talk show and I loved it because anything could happen. I learned a lot. You started talking and you did not know what was going to happen next.
Absolutely. And you're still planning plenty in your life. You plan this show. You plan this show every week. You plan all sorts of things, but there's a certain amount of the window being left open for anything to happen, and that's what you like. And my J on my Myers-Briggs is very weak. A lot of people, when I say INFJ, they say, well, I can't believe it's not INFP. Look at your desk. Look, you know, and I admit that. I do like to just have a little bit of a plan for life, a little bit of an organization for life. But this trip that we're coming up, that we're taking here in the next few days, we've got it planned basically where we'll be the first night and the second night, and after that we don't. That's just right. It's perfect.
I wish I could remember the guy who coined this term because he trademarked it, but it's called planned spontaneity.
Sure.
There's something to me that is magical about having a framework for your day. You know, certain ways you wake up, ways you go to bed, you know, you work out at noon or whatever. But then you have these pockets where you're free to just go nuts. And so you have a balance.
Oh, it's the perfect way to live. I heard the term very similar to that from a guy named John Krumbholz, and he called it planned happenstance. And obviously it sounds like an oxymoron, but what he was getting at was that you put yourself in the way of things that might happen. You put yourself out there in a way that would generate opportunities that might look like luck to the person standing and looking from afar, but it's actually because you went and did something and something happened as a result. You went in not exactly knowing what would happen, but you put yourself in the way of opportunity and it showed up.
You know, what's funny is that is the guy. I recognize him. I've interviewed him, but I misquoted him. It's planned happenstance.
Well, it's the same idea.
It is the same thing.
Idea.
Yeah. But if you trademarked it, I should probably get it right. There's a wide range of places we could go from here. I'm tempted to back up in the next segment and just talk about certain aspects of introversion that people might be able to relate to, like where they get their energy, how they spend their free time. And then based on knowing that about yourself or discovering that about yourself, deciding how you can better live and work with the people you live and work with.
That sounds great.
So that's ahead with Peter Vogt, author of The Introvert Manifesto. We'll be back with Doing What Works.
If you know someone who could use some help with a problem, tell them to tune in to Doing What Works.
You are listening to Doing What Works, and my standard procedure for opening a program is to rattle off a few credentials of my guest. I was so eager to talk with Peter Vogt, author of The Introvert Manifesto, about introversion. I totally forgot to do that. Let's give people a little bit about your background, Peter.
Well, I grew up in the Minnesota area in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and I was a journalism major in school. I have a counseling background as well, but my job right now is writer, full-time writer. And I focus on introversion, and I write about just life in general as well.
That is no small feat to make a living as a writer. How are you doing it?
It's not the easiest, partly because I have the constant tug and pull between writing something for the money and writing something for a living versus writing what's on my heart and what I see around me. And I'm in a good spot right now where I can focus more on the writing, what I see around me, writing my blog. I have a blog called forpetesake.me.
Oh, that's good.
and so that occupies a lot of my time, along with the introvert manifesto work that I do.
What are you writing for money, if I may ask?
Very little at the moment, except the introvert manifesto is what I'm focusing on for that purpose.
And I had an author tell me recently that most of the transactions when it comes to money happen at speaking engagements. Do you find that?
It's true. Speaking engagements are wonderful for that purpose. And for me, in my own personal life, I do a lot of book editing, too.
Oh, do you?
And okay. So that is something that is the dollars and cents for me, too. But I am in a spot right now for various circumstances that allows me to focus on literally writing what I would like to write, and that is a blessing.
When did you light on introversion as a focus for your career?
Oh, my gosh. It was in grad school, because I always grew up thinking something was wrong with me.
Really?
Absolutely. Because I wouldn't want to go to the high school dances. I wouldn't seem to gravitate toward the things that everybody else seemed to gravitate toward, and especially in terms of social stuff. I enjoyed reading books by myself. It wasn't that I was sitting in a corner not talking to anybody, but it just seemed like something must be wrong with me. And in grad school, I was introduced to the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, and I took it the first time. And here there was this concept called introvert and extrovert, and I came up as an introvert, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just an introvert. It was one of these revelation sort of moments for me, and that's when I started really focusing on studying it and writing about it, and the book itself is basically just me being frustrated at having to explain to the world that there's nothing wrong with introverts. It's just a personality aspect along with 100 other things. The world that we live in tends to be pretty extroverted and has extroverted expectations. I'm getting on my soapbox now, but if I'm at work and they all ask me on a Friday afternoon, hey, come out with us, and I say, no, I don't really want to, because I want to go home, there'll be some pressure. Oh, come on, you're going to miss all the fun. And I just never say to people, why don't you go have some solitude with me? If you don't come, you're going to miss it. It's live and let live for me. And so there's a lot of that sort of stuff. If my wife is a first grade teacher, the schools are better about this, much better than they used to be when I was growing up. But there is often concern for the kid who's too quiet or only has one friend. There's never concern for the kid who's super sociable and has lots of friends.
Well, you wouldn't have thought there was something wrong with you had you not been in the minority. Are introverts in the minority?
You know, that's debatable, because you see figures anywhere from 25% of the population to 50%. The Myers-Briggs people who keep track of it, they have test results from thousands and thousands of people. If you look at those statistics, it's actually pretty even.
Really?
An even split between introverts and extroverts.
So the introverts don't have a PR person that is worth their salt.
No, they could use one.
Go ahead, Darryl.
Well, I was just curious, do you think there is a tendency for one or the other to go ahead and take the test? I mean, is an introverted person likely to want to test
the Myers-Briggs? I'm impressed. That was awesome.
Thank you. I'll quit now while I'm ahead.
I don't really know the answer to that. A lot of times you take the Myers-Briggs as part of a work assignment or as a school assignment. Mm-hmm. People do seek it out through counselors will often give it out. I'm not sure if there's anybody who's more prone to take it or not, but that really is a good question. I don't have the answer to it. But if you believe those statistics, and we're talking about thousands and thousands of results, the split does tend to be more even. And that's been my experience too, especially once you stop trying to peg people. You know, like I was saying earlier in the other segment, you can guess that people are extroverts sometimes, but they really do tend to be more introverts in the rest of their lives. And it's a fool's game to try to peg people on Myers-Briggs without them actually doing it.
Yeah, no kidding. And it also probably points to what I mentioned earlier as far as feeling good about being more perception than judgment.
Yep.
I just think introverts are easy to bash because they're not the life of the party. I mean, think of all the, you know, outgoing. You always have a good connotation with that. You never automatically think outgoing, bad. Never.
Oh, well, sometimes, maybe. I mean, there's a fine
obnoxious
line sometimes.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, there's a fine line sometimes between outgoing and obnoxious.
Right.
We all know examples of that.
Sure, but a loner, you know, if that's how you choose, you're never going to paint them as
I mean, I did a thing in the book where I looked at all the synonyms for extroverted and all the synonyms for
introverted. Please, sure.
And the synonyms for extroverted are outgoing, sociable, gregarious, happy, life of the party, et cetera, et cetera. The synonyms for introvert are loner, standoffish.
Arrogant.
Arrogant was one. There's basically, they generally have, not totally, but they generally will have a negative connotation. And the extroverted the synonyms for extroverted tend to have a positive connotation. And I don't want to come on here and be a big crybaby about it. I'm just pointing out that that's kind of what the cultural narrative is for us in this country, is that if you're leaning toward introversion, something might be a little bit off about you that needs to be cured or fixed. And that's what got me to write the book. And I realize that's a huge blanket statement, and that's not everybody, every single case. But it is, it's there. If you ask enough introverts, they will tell you there's pressure on me to be somebody I'm not.
I don't take it that way at all. I bet there's somebody right this moment who is listening going, that's why my husband and I always have an argument on Friday night.
Absolutely. And it's not that one is right and one is wrong. You know, right now, the teeter-totter of life, in our country at least, is extrovert-focused. I don't want it to swing to the other side. I just want it to be balanced.
Sure.
And I think that's what most introverts would say, too. If you ask me to go to a party and I don't want to go, just leave it and let it be. Don't make me have to explain it or defend it or justify what I'm saying. And that happens sometimes, and that's what gets old.
Oh my goodness. It can happen in reverse.
It can happen in reverse. You've got your beloved that wants you to go out with them on to a party, let's say, or a double date, like you were saying in another segment, and they're resisting every single time. Well, that's not fair either. There's got to be a balance. And if the two people in the relationship can understand the introvert-extrovert aspect about each other and just make peace with it and make little deals about...
Sure.
Well, you know, sometimes we'll go to the party, but sometimes we'll leave early. Then you solve those Friday night arguments before they start.
But if you don't even know that basic bit of information about yourself, you are doomed. We don't want you to be doomed. We do want you to keep listening. There's more with Peter Vogt coming up in just a few minutes on Doing What Works.
The following is sponsored by the Knock 'Em Dead Career Management Books.
We promised in an earlier show that we'd have our good friend, Martin Yate, back to cover the subject of salary negotiation in the job search process. Martin is the New York Times best-selling author of the Knock 'Em Dead Career Books, and he allows that salary negotiation is one of the most critical parts of job interviewing because there's so much riding on it. Martin says that when the interviewer asks, "How much do you want?" you'd better be prepared.
Such a great question, but so difficult to answer. Ask for too much, and their real offer's never going to end up on the table. Ask for too little, they're going to jump at it, and you're going to kick yourself in the butt for the next 3 or 4 years, thinking you sold yourself too cheaply, which you probably did. So what's the answer? I believe the answer is to create a salary range for yourself that puts you in the running, doesn't nail you down to a specific figure that you might regret later. Now, all jobs, every single job anyone's ever been hired for, has a carefully approved salary range. So what I'm suggesting is you use the same technique as corporations do. You come up with a salary range for the position. Now, to do this, you need to actually start off with coming up with three numbers. Number one, what's the least you need to put food on your table, go to work, come home, and keep a roof over your head? Number two, what would be a fair offer given where you live, your profession, your skills, and the length and depth of your experience? And figure number three, what's the offer that's going to make you drop dead and go to heaven on the spot? Having come up with those three numbers, you kick out the bottom one, you kick out the lowest number. Why? Because it's easier to negotiate downwards than it is to negotiate upwards. And what you're left with is a salary range. Now, the employer has an improved salary range. And when they ask you, how much do you want? Instead of giving one figure that could be too high or too low, you give them a range which dramatically increases the odds of you locking in somewhere into their approved range and getting into a serious salary discussion.
Doing What Works and Martin Yate are offering a special discount to you as a listener of the show on Martin's Knock 'Em Dead products and services. To get the discount, go to martinyate.com and get 20% off anything in the Knock 'Em Dead store. Again, that web address is martinyate.com. Remember the promo code WHATWORKS and get 20% off any Knock 'Em Dead book, resume, or coaching service. Learn to control your destiny.
Back with Doing What Works. Are you constantly in search of alone time? Do you crave space and feel like you don't have enough of it in your life? Well, guess what? There's nothing wrong with you. You might be an introvert, and that's fine. And that's what we're trying to inspire. In this edition of Doing What Works, we have the author of The Introvert Manifesto with us. He is Peter Vogt. You can learn more about the book and his work at introvertmanifesto.com. And what's the address for your blog, Peter?
For my personal blog?
Yes,
for Pete's sake, it's forpetesake.me.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
The thing I related to the most in your book was how you seem to crave alone time, like some people, I imagine, craving crack. Right?
That's fair.
It's crack
to
you.
It works for me.
Right?
Alone time is crack to me, yeah.
And
absolutely.
Have you always been that way?
Yep.
When you were a little kid?
But I didn't realize it when I was a little kid. I mean, I was alone a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I did things alone a lot. But
did
I
you get teased?
I didn't get teased, I don't think, per se, for wanting to be alone. But I just ended up being alone a lot. I got teased for other reasons. I have twin older brothers who are 5 years older than me. So, you know, when they asked me to play catch, I was the ball. But, and, you know, I got beat up a lot. I love you guys. But I didn't get teased per se for being an introvert. I didn't really know I was one. All I know is that I really loved going to the library back home in Detroit Lakes. I was there all the time. When I was outside playing in the yard, playing my little sports, I would do it by myself a lot. And I'd have, you know, you're radio people. I'd have little radio broadcasts of my own games. So I'm, you know, I'm sliding into home plate and I'm broadcasting the whole thing. The neighbors off to the side thinking I'm a whack job or something. Probably think I am on crack at that point. I'm only 8 years old, but that's how I was. That's how I was. And I had my little friends and stuff, but I had two or three friends. I didn't have 12 friends. And I wanted to be alone a lot of the time because I found it just somehow felt good to me. To sit and read a book for 4 hours straight felt really good to me.
You were not an unhappy little kid.
No, not at all.
Fascinating. So at what point did you start to think something was wrong with you?
Well, when girls came along, for starters, because, you know, when...
They have a habit of making you feel like something's wrong.
Yeah, it's a girl thing.
It's a gift.
Well, this brings up something important, actually.
Sure,
because
please.
There's a huge difference between shyness and introversion. And
tell us.
And usually those are equated by people. They think it's the same thing, and it's not. And I'll give you an example, and it has to do with girls.
Okay.
The first day of seventh grade, we all come together back home in Detroit Lakes from all the different elementary schools. We're all in the same middle school. Boom, I see a girl, and I'm in love with her instantly. I won't name her, but I'm in love with her instantly from afar. And I can't speak to her for the next, 5 years. I'm in love with her, and I can't talk to her. I can't speak to her. I can't do anything.
It's like the Big Bang Theory.
Exactly. Absolutely. Was it introversion? No, it wasn't introversion. Introversion would say, you know, it just takes me too much energy to do this, and I don't want to put the energy into it. That sounds very nice, but it wasn't introversion. It was shyness, because what was really going through my mind was that if I go up and talk to her, she's going to think I'm an idiot, and I'm going to fall over dead right here in the gym in front of everybody, and I'm going to die because I'm going to look like a fool. That's like social anxiety run amok. That's shyness, and it's a different thing because fear comes in with shyness. I'm fearful of doing whatever it is that I want to do in terms of an interaction. In this case, it was with a girl. It wasn't me thinking it's just too much energy or I'd rather do something else or something very cerebral like that. It was fear. Shyness is fear.
I had a friend whose daughter was labeled shy from the minute she could talk. And I remember the friend worrying about that because of the whole label business.
Yep.
First of all, is shyness something you can help? And two, is that the wrong question?
It might be the wrong question because, yeah, first of all, introversion is like I said, is different from that. You don't try to cure your introversion. You
right.
don't try to overcome your introversion. Would you try to work on your shyness? I sure have. I have throughout my life. I could have never done what I'm doing now when I was a kid, but it comes with practice.
So you do want to face whatever fears are causing you to be shy, but it doesn't mean you're a bad person because you were shy to begin with, of course.
Oh, absolutely. But just to function in the world, you have to have some general level of being able to interact with people. And that's, to me, what shyness is about, because of that fear element. And the more you do it, the less fearful it becomes.
We only have a few minutes with Peter Vogt. You might be able to tell I'm a little bit heartbroken about that, but we're going to talk about living deep as opposed to wide, and you don't want to miss it. That's ahead on Doing What Works. This is Doing What Works. I'm your host, Maureen Anderson, and I'll tell you when I first realized I might be spending a little too much time online. I was talking with a time management expert on the program, and I asked him about a term, the joy of missing out, that he had not heard. And I thought, oh man, I should not know this. It just points to how obsessively I read in the course of a day. I bring it up because we're talking with Peter Vogt today about introversion. He's the author of the Introvert Manifesto. And I want to give you his website one more time, introvertmanifesto.com. Another theme, I think, Peter, that runs through your book is the whole aspect of living deep as opposed to wide. And by that, I mean focusing on one or two things to the exclusion of everything else so that you can really make a difference in those ways and enjoy those things that you can't if you're always scrolling through whatever feed and trying to stay on top of everything because of the fear of missing out.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that's just part of life right now for us is the whole scrolling through things. And I try not to do it myself. I would rather do one or two things very well, very deep, as you would put it, than 10 things in a mediocre way. I'd rather study something, one or two things very well than study 10 things. But some people are different. Some people would like to be more generalist about it and know a little bit about a lot of things, and that's fine too. But for me especially, I think this is an introvert tendency. Introverts tend to mostly want to go into depth on things, to really get to know the subject matter deeply, to get to know the person in front of them deeply. You know, one of the mythology things for introverts is that we don't like people. Well, you just don't like people.
That's so wrong.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What I don't like is interacting with people in a party situation where there's 50 people at a time and the music is blaring in the background and I can't go into depth with anybody. But if I can have somebody with me at the coffee shop where we can have a great conversation like you and I are having right now, oh my gosh, it's heaven. I could do that all day long. So it has nothing to do with liking people. It has to do with liking how I interact with people.
It's a high.
Absolutely.
David Letterman said that.
Absolutely. I could totally see that
from him. Who needs to be at a party when you have that much fun on the show?
Oh, I could totally see that from him.
I was a cocktail waitress for 18 months, and I used to get grief from the bartenders for not joking around with every table, blah, 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 you know. And one of them in particular thought that I was hurting my tips, which were hurting his bottom line because, of course, we shared them. What I learned was from a friend who happened to be a counselor. He said, Maureen, if you were yourself with every table, you would never get to the next table. There's no such thing as a superficial interaction with me. So I either have to stay on the surface and get the job done, or I'd ignore all the other tables because I get so far into a conversation with one person.
I'm the exact same way. Because if I'm going to interact with somebody, I want it to be something that has some meaning and some depth. I don't want to have small talk with somebody. A small talk's small.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to
do it. I never thought of that.
You have to
That's
do
why
it,
they
though.
Call it, yeah.
You have to do it. I mean, I wrote a blog post about this a few weeks back about small talk. Because you have to do it. It's part of life. It's part of getting to know people and just having icebreakers. But mostly I would like to sit down and have a conversation like we've had here today.
Sure.
Something depth, something that's meaty, something that where I learn something, the other person learns something, and we both walk away energized and not drained.
Aren't you fascinated by the people at the airport gate who can take a 30-second update on where they are and where they can be met later and turn it into a 45-minute, well, I guess I should get going. I just want to rip that phone from their hands and throw it at wall.
That's just how they roll, though. But I'd rather personally just talk about something that has more meaning and more depth. But, you know, to each his own, to each her own that way.
Oh, I just realized something. Which is worse, the people who are trying to capture the fireworks with their phones, or people like me who are so fascinated by those people, they're missing the fireworks
as
well?
Well, yeah. it depends on who you ask, Marie.
Yeah. Because I just did a variation of that. 20 seconds. What would you most like, introverts or extroverts, to remember from this hour with you?
Introverts, when you're out there listening to this, there's nothing wrong with you. That being said, we all have our things to work on, but what I'm saying is your introversion, that there's nothing wrong with you. Your introversion is not a problem. It's something that what I like to say is it's something that you don't need to face. It's something that you embrace.
You have things to work on, but this isn't one of them.
Exactly.
Wonderful conversation, Peter. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to Doing What Works.
This broadcast of Doing What Works is copyrighted by North Shore Productions. To learn more, please visit MaureenAnderson.com.